Why did you doubt Simon Peter? Because he lacked faith. Trust and faith go hand in hand, as a hand in a glove, go together. We trust in God, and the stronger our faith, the stronger that bond of trust. Many people perhaps doubt whether God is present in their life, and some doubt whether he actually exists. We are in the boat, we are in the bark of Peter, the church, baptized members of his royal family, and we're in the seas of the world, being tossed hither and thither, up and down. There's a storm raging all around us. Secular humanism is at our door. We feel the spray of the water in our face. We are fearful. And all the time, God is present. Christ is there. We don't see him, but he does exist close by to us. In the first reading, Elijah wanted to dwell in the presence of God. And he searched for the presence of God in earthquakes, strong winds, like in a hurricane, and torrential rain, fire. All these natural elements, which are powerful and distinct, he thought God could be found in them, because God is all-powerful. And having searched in those powerful means of nature, he found not the supernatural, not the spiritual presence of Christ. What did he find? Well, after exhausting all his efforts, God came to him in a gentle breeze. The point being, so often we project onto God how God ought to treat us or behave according to our standards, when God has his own agenda. We must slot him with him, not him with us. And God's presence to us is something we should never doubt. He is present to us, but perhaps not in the way or at the time when we want him to be. And fair enough. We are in God's history, his story, not ours. We must trust as a child trusts in his or her parents. And the stronger the faith, the greater the bond of trust. Sometimes people say, but if only Christ could have showed himself or worked a miracle or did that or did this. God has given us enough evidence of his presence in the world. Enough evidence for those who want to find him, that they can find him, and not so much evidence that we are forced against our will to accept him. In other words, he wants us to want to find him, as a child wants to put their hand in their parents' hand. Look at the evidence just in the Eucharistic miracles, inexplicable to science, or the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe, or the Shroud of Turin. These are present in our world. Science is baffled by them. We have the answers to them. They're supernatural. They're spiritual. Well, look at the lives of the saints, and in particular those saints who are incorrupt. How do we explain that? We can't. It's proof of God's existence. So there are miracles for moderns in our world, and enough that we can, in pursuing them, find the presence of God. And the main reason why God doesn't do more than that is simply because we couldn't cope with more than that. What do I mean by that? Well, simply that we want God to do what we think is best for God in making his case in our world. But how foolish we are. The creature pitting himself against the Creator. Don't forget the book of Job. At the very end, it's basically Job who has to be humble and admit God's ways are not our ways. So often we tell God what we want of him and how wrong we are in doing so. Now, we are incapable of seeing the presence of God as God is in this life, because we're not meant to see the presence of God in this life. That awaits us in the next. the beatific vision, or seeing God face to face, is something we are incapable of here and now. And to make sense of that, think of a child in the womb at 6 months old. The child in the womb is limited in their knowledge. But let's say, for example, that child could talk to its parents. And being in the womb there, it's got legs and fingers and is kind of sitting or floating there. And perhaps says to mum and dad, it's great to be here. I'm very comfortable. Thank you for providing my nice accommodation and food on tap. It's great being alive. Thank you for being my parents. And the parents might smile and think, well, it's very good that you're there, but don't get too comfortable because in a few months' time, you'll be coming into our world. And the child might say, I don't want to come into your world because, well, I have everything I want in this world. But the child lacks sight, taste, touch. Well, it has touch, but taste and smell. It can hear, but not perhaps as well as it should. There is that sense of touch and hearing in the womb, but the child in the womb would be mistaken to think that's all there is. We're mistaken to think that this world is all there is. We are in the womb of the world awaiting our eternal birth. And when we see God in the next life, we'll then understand why, in this life, many things happened and didn't happen. We must not push God because God can't be pushed. And in doing so, it's pride and arrogance. We submit humbly to the gentle breeze of God's presence in our life. And like Peter, we pray that we might have faith. Notice that Peter only began to sink when he took his eyes off Christ. He felt the force of the wind. In other words, he looked to the natural rather than the supernatural. He looked to the visible rather than the invisible. He took too much account of the physical and not enough of the spiritual. If we focus on Christ and give prayer, the sacraments, the saints, top priority in our life, we shall stay afloat, and moreover, we shall see the presence of God in our midst. It's when we take our eyes off him and too much of the world inundates us, we begin to lose heart and hope. We pray, therefore, in our troubled times, our difficult times, that we might become better focused, therefore, on Christ, who is always close by, and therefore have tremendous trust in him. And in doing so, we one day will be before him and admit, as they did in the boat, truly, you are the Son of God.